Vasudevaya.
Om namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the cleansing of the Gaudiya temple, Madhya 12, verse 169. Previously, we had read how the Lord was omniscient. And he had served, distributed prasadam to all the devotees according to their full satisfaction. So verse 169, Jagadananda Vidaya Parivesha Karite.
Jagadananda Vidaya Parivesha Karite.
Prabhura Pati Bala Dravya Dena Achambite.
Prabhura Pati Bala.
Jagadananda went to distribute prasadam, and suddenly he placed all the first-class preparations on the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vyadya pi dile prabhu tanre karina rosha. Bale chale tabu dina dile se santosha.
Bale chale tabu dina dile se santosha.
When such nice prasadam was placed on the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord was outwardly very angry. Nonetheless, when the preparations were placed on his plate, sometimes by tricks and sometimes by force, the Lord was satisfied. Punarapi sai dravya kari nirikshana. Tanrabaye prabhu kichu karena bhakshana.
Tanrabaye prabhu kichu karena bhakshana.
When the food was thus delivered, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at it for some time. Being afraid of Jagadananda, he finally ate something. Like Krishna with Mother Yasoda. I mean, since that, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is submitting to the will of the devotees. Nakaila Jagadananda Karibe Upavasana.
Nakaila Jagadananda Karibe Upavasana.
Tanre Age Kichu Kana Mane Aitrasa. The Lord knew that if he did not eat the food offered by Jagadananda, Jagadananda would certainly fast. Being afraid of this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate some of the prasadam he offered. Swarupa Gosai Bala Mista Prasada Lana. Prabhu ke nivedana kare age dandana.
Prabhu ke nivedana
kare dandana. Swarupa Damodar Goswami then brought some excellent sweetmeats and standing before the Lord, offered them to him. E maha prasade alpa karana ashvadana. Deka Jagannatha Kaiche Karya Chena Bhojana.
Deka Jagannatha Kaiche Karya Chena Bhojana.
Swarup Damodar Goswami then said, just take a little of this Mahaprasad and see how it is that Lord Jagannath has accepted it. Eta bali ange kichu kare samarpana.
Eta bali ange kichu kare samarpana.
Tanra smeha prabhu kichu kare na bojana.
Tanra smeha prabhu kichu kare na bojana.
Upon saying this, Swarup Damodar Goswami placed some food before the Lord, and the Lord, out of affection, ate it. E mata dui jana kare bara bara.
E mata dui jana kare bara bara.
Vichitra e dui bhaktera sneha vyavahara.
Vichitra e dui bhaktera sneha vyavahara.
Swarupa Damodar and Jagadananda again and again offered the Lord some food. Thus they behave affectionately with the Lord. This was very, very uncommon.
Hmm. The affection or the food thing? Both?
I think the combination of this pastime, you know, was, well, this from my perspective, you know, this leela. They behave affectionately with the Lord. Behaved affectionately with the Lord. And this was very, very uncommon. Sarva Bhoma Prabhu Vasana Chena Vama Pase. Dui Bhaktira Sneha Deki Sarva Bhoma Hase. The Lord made Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya sit on his left side. And when Sarvabhuma saw the behavior of Swarup Damodar and Jagadananda, he smiled. Sarvabhuma Deyana Prabhu Prasada Uttama. Sneha Kari Bara Bara Karana Bhojana. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to offer Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya first class food. Therefore, out of affection, he at the service put first class food on his plate again and again. Gopinatha Charya Uttama Mahaprasada Ani.
Gopinatha Charya Uttama Mahaprasada Ani.
Sarvabhoma Diyakahe Somadura Vani.
Sarvabhoma Diyakahe Somadura Vani.
Gopinatha Charya also brought first class foods and offered it to Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya while speaking sweet words. Kaham Bhattacharyera Purva Jada Vyavahara.
Kaham Bhattacharyera Purva Jada Vyavahara.
Kahan e Paramananda Karaha Vichara.
Kahan e Paramananda Karaha Vichara.
After serving the Bhattacharya with first class prasadam, Gopinathacharya said, just consider what the Bhattacharya's previous mundane behavior was. Just consider how at present he is enjoying transcendental bliss. Purport. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was previously a smarta brahmana, that is, who strictly followed the Vedic principles on the mundane platform. On the mundane platform, one cannot believe that prasadam is transcendental, that Govinda is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that a Vaishnava is a liberated person. These transcendental considerations are out of the ordinary Vedic scholars' jurisdiction. Most Vedic scholars are called Vedantas. These so-called followers of Vedanta philosophy consider the absolute truth to be impersonal. They also believe that a person born in a particular caste cannot change his caste until he dies and takes rebirth. The Smartana Brahmanas also rejected the fact that Mahaprasadam, food offered to the deity, is transcendental and materially uncontaminated. Originally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was subjected to all the rules and regulations of the Vedic principles on the mundane platform. Now Gopinathacharya pointed out how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been converted by the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being converted, Sarvabhauma partook of prasadam with the Vaishnavas. Indeed, he sat by the side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's three, in this purport, Prabhupada explains, there are three principles that play, that cover our vision and plague our, the minds of us when we are on the mundane platform. Those three ideas are that one does not think that prasadam is transcendental, that Govinda is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that a Vaishnava is a liberated person. Three. So can everyone please repeat these? That prasadam is transcendental. That Govinda is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or that a Vaishnava is a liberated person. So these three ideas, but we're on the mundane platform, we cannot see these three points clearly. Prasadam is transcendental. Actually, I was watching a video last night. Has anyone seen that documentary on the Radharaman temple? It's a movie, about 30 minutes long. And they actually, some devotees, I think they were from Europe, and they gained access to the pujaris and everything in the temple. And they gave the history of the Radharaman temple and took us back inside the inner sanctum of the altar and the deities. The point was that they was explaining how that the prasadam, they actually worship, they don't call Krishna Bhagavan, they call Krishna Thakurji, which is a very intimate idea. They see themselves as serving Krishna as a child, Thakurji. And the prasadam is made by the devotees, the sevaks, who have been cooking the prasadam actually from generation to generation, and the standard is very, very high. And there's one of the interviewees that she explains that when Prabhupada first went to Vrindavan with the devotees, and he actually recommended to us that we should study this standard of Radharaman in serving the deities, because the standard is very, very strict and very, very pure. But they cook the boga and offer the boga. Then it's very beautiful how they show it inside, back in the kitchen. They actually let us take the camera in there to have a distant view of the cooks cooking the food. I mean, yes, the food, actually. they were cooking the food. And then offering it in a pure way to Lord Govinda. So the prasadam is transcendental, and Govinda is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a very difficult one for us to conceive and understand when we have mundane vision, especially also as we progress in spiritual life, see, because many of the spiritualists actually want to, even on the Vaishnava Sampradaya, it's really difficult to see that Govinda is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because there's so many incarnations that are coming from the Lord. And especially the forms of Vishnu are all-powerful. On the Vaikuntha planets, you know, there's a Narayan form, an Ishnarayan form, is surrounded by four Vishnu forms, with the different placement of the hands and the different expansions of the expansions of the expansions. It's very difficult to conceive that this form of Govinda, Thakurji, is the original cause of all the this gigantic universal presentation of phenomena of the personality of Godhead. So this is a very difficult idea. And that finally that the Vaishnava is a liberated person. And so in this movie actually there was one of the sevaks. This was the person who was in charge of keeping the shoes. And so they asked this person, and he's been doing this his whole life, and he said, why do you enjoy your service? He said, oh, because I get so happy when I go to see Thakurji. And when I go to do all the service and I keep the shoes for all the guests, it makes me so happy. Mm. He said, all of my anxieties, all of my stress, they just go away. As soon as I come, and he's running to the temple to just keep the shoes in the, you know, for the people. Mm-hmm. You know? And he says, as soon as I get to the temple, all of my stress is gone. All of my anxieties, all of my worry is gone. So I just rush to the temple. So in this way, we can look at this person as an ordinary shoekeeper, but actually he's a liberated soul. Because he's understood the purport of service, you know, is to come and serve the Lord. Because then all of our anxieties, then we're in Vaikuntha, all of our anxieties are taken away. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just wanted a little bit more explanation about Govinda. I'm not so clear.
Govinda?
Mm-hmm. That particular manifestation.
Why he's the Supreme and not Vishnu or Narayana?
Or Madan Mohan or Sayyidina.
Mm-hmm. Govinda.
Is Govinda said as the original form?
Well, Govinda and Madan Mohan, they're basically, you know, sort of like the same. But the idea is that originally, the original form is of the personality of Godhead is this charming, transcendental cowherd boy. That is the idea that is kind of hard because especially the advanced Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, they turn it around and they say that, you know, because of the mundane perception, you know, we're in the mundane world, so all we see is the great phenomena. We are amazed by the magnificence of the material world. You know, we're constantly trying to figure out how does a tree come from a seed? That is so baffling. How does a hair grow out of the body? You know, how does a fruit come out of the seed? That we're trying to figure out. So this complexity of the mundane cosmos is something so baffling to us that we would think that that the source of this existence is something which is so all-powerful and all-great and all-wonderful. So we would think that, oh yes, Vishnu was first. And he manifests himself as a little boy and plays around. But ultimately, you know, God has to be something which is so greater than everything that we can see and we can comprehend. And everything else has to come out of that. But actually, it's turned around. You know, it's like, what is that? There's a word that think of the word, but it's the opposite.
Inverted, no.
What?
Inverted.
Inverted, yes, yeah, inverted, yeah. So the original, this idea that a simple cowherd boy that has nothing else to do. You see, that's the whole idea that, you know, ultimately God doesn't have anything to do. The true ultimate aspect of God is that there's nothing really to do. So then he expands himself. So you know these different expansions? Vaibhava, Prakash, Samsa, Abhinamsa, all these different expansions.
And it teaches itself. It's quite complex, but there's Swamsa, Abhinamsa,
And even when you get down into the level of where you have avatars, these are multiples of multiples of multiples of the original personality of God. So that concept is very, very difficult and hard to believe. It's sort of like, you know, remember last week when we were talking about, you had asked about the question of the concept of one. You know, sometimes even a person, you know, like you see somebody that has, like, let's say, maybe $100 million. It's hard to think of them having $1 because of the 100 million. So we concentrate on the big 100 million. But that 100 million, basically, the underlying facet of it is the one. The one makes up everything else. So to look at that impersonal idea, look at it from the impersonal point, then it's hard to see the one in the 100,000. Does that make sense? So we're looking at the mundane world. And all religions, they're looking at the mundane world and trying to see, just like some religions will dare to say, oh, well, yeah. But no one has ever seen God. You cannot see God. God is too magnificent, too amazing to be ever comprehended. So who can ever see God? Is that sort of...
So Govinda is the coward boy.
Govinda is the coward boy. The original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the coward boy. Govinda.
There's a famous verse that says, don't go down to the banks of Jamuna, because if you see Govinda there, you'll just never want to have your ordinary life back again. That's another kind of inverted verse. You know that one?
Yes, I know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It shows that affection is more valuable than power.
Affection.
Affection more valuable than power. Wow.
Isn't it? Even Brahma is surprised, right? When he sees, because she says, you look at your little tiny lotus feet and you're holding your little bit of prasadam in your fingers after you kidnap the boys and the calves. And even the demigods are used to seeing the Lord in his opulence. But in his real form, the affection, like we're seeing in these verses here, is that's what the Lord values more than power and being worshipped more.
Yes, yeah. And, well, that is the affection. Along that lines, actually starts with appreciation. Appreciation. So we can begin to really appreciate, maybe one day, at least I'll speak subjectively, to appreciate our Sampradaya. And Srila Prabhupada, what we're given right now, at least for me, is probably about maybe 1,000 light years ahead of where I am right now in this incarnation. Because the idea, if you just look, that even the basic prayer that we sing to open the deity, Govindam Adipurusham, you know, Tamaham Bhajami, this is given to us by Lord Brahma, who is our Mahapita, who is the start, who is the head of our Sampradaya, not only the creation of the creator of the universe, but he's the founder of our movement, Lord Brahma. And he's told us that Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That Govinda is the original personality of Godhead. When he had his darshan of the Lord, he actually saw the Lord fully. We can just imagine the Lord Brahma, how great he is. He's the original. He has access, you know, to information that we don't have. You know, just like, you know, sometimes, just from a mundane perspective, I remember when the transition was taking place downtown here in D.C., and the outgoing president told the incoming president, there's things that you will hear and understand that will change your views. You know, there's inner information that we don't know. So similarly, Lord Brahma, when he had access to the inner information, he saw that Govinda, you know, was beyond Narayan, beyond all the different Vishnu forms. And Govinda, this coward boy, is the original personality of Godhead. That was point number two. The third point also is important to keep in mind, that the Vaishnava is a liberated person. Anybody like to say anything on that?
It's interesting because we've been talking about liberation and bondage in our morning at this section in the Bhagavatam that we are.
Your explanation was perfect though, actually.
Which one?
Well, you mentioned the person keeping the shoes. Because generally when we think of liberation, we're thinking about being detached from the material nature. We're bound, we're connected and attached to it. Mm. And so they're surprised when you see a Vaishnava doing things. You know, Prabhupada said when he was doing the Srimad Bhagavatam and he was printing, he would outwardly look like he was another person in the printing business.
Yeah.
Doing all the same kinds of things. And so externally it doesn't look like he's liberated. It's like he's attached to the material world. But because his idea is only service, he's engaging with the material world and he's completely detached.
Yeah.
So therefore he's more liberated than somebody who's averse and trying to become detached from it. It's the yukta vairagya.
Yeah.
But the other kind of denunciation is false and complete bhava.
Yeah. So just to recap, repeat, so we get these three ideas to be clear about these three conditions that prevent us, I mean, that mundane people have about the transcendental vision. The three ideas is that, number one, is that they cannot believe that prasadam is transcendental, that Govinda is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that a Vaishnava is a liberated person. We have more time?
Yeah, you have to 8:30. I have a question. I mean, just this point of liberation and this idea of freedom. Prabhupada, you talk about the free light in the spirit. I'll speak for myself personally. I'm so drawn to this sense of freedom, of being free from the body, the soul being free. And yet, at the same time, understanding liberation to be, at least while you're in this body, fully functioning and working in the world, like Krishna told Arjuna to fight. And so our freedom then becomes a freedom of the misidentity or freedom of the results of our work. How would a Vaishnava define, when they say a Vaishnava is liberated, in terms of what maybe the yogic people talk about liberation or Hindus talk about liberation? You know, is there a sense of freedom in all the different ways one can be liberated? Or freedom from the bondage of this body of world?
First thing that comes to mind for me is the idea that as we become more engaged in Krishna service, then actually the body becomes spiritualized. So the mundane limitations of a physical form no longer bind the soul. So in that regards, you can see like even like, let's say, someone like, let's say Prabhupada, when he was here in a body being 73, 74 years old, he had this tremendous, he was like Superman. Really. Literally speaking. If you was with him, and I had a few moments to be with him, he was like a Superman in this old, frail body. So it was like the body had no limitations whatsoever. So the more we are engaged in Krishna's service, then the body becomes spiritualized and it's no longer limited by its apparent gross composition. The atoms are sort of like accelerated, so it's like they're totally on a spiritual dynamic. So what we're seeing, you know, physically, we're not really seeing the true essence of this energy, which is like a spiritual energy. So the body is, it's just like the prasadam. You know, when you offer the boga, it becomes spiritual. You can't really, it looks like ordinary food. But when you taste it, all of a sudden you feel something different. So similar to the same way, that's the liberation. The more service we have the opportunity to engage in, then that vehicle which we use that service in becomes spiritual. So it's just like, you know, I may have, let's say, a 2017 luxurious Escalade black with tinted windows, and I drive through DC, that's regular, but if I have one special sticker on it that says, you know, the United States government, then that accesses me to any place I need to go. So that way the body is liberated because it's spiritualized. So we could see, like, even like Prabhupada, he had so much, it was such powerful, you know. I remember just even like one night I was, like we were in Hyderabad, and we were doing so many things, and everybody was so busy, and, you know, we were moving and running around doing this and everything, and we all went to sleep. And so I woke up probably about 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I looked over, I woke up, in Prabhupada's room, it was right across. And I woke up, raised my head up out of my bedding, and looked across the hallway, and Jai Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. And I was tired from all the events of the day, and I look across the hallway, and then Prabhupada is walking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So I, you know, jump up and go into the room, and I, all of a sudden I'm swept up in this current, dynamic, living energy, and so I walk with him and chant for a while, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then I go back and lay down and go to sleep. And then wake up a few hours later, we're having, you know, Mangal Arati, and there Prabhupada is, he's just like nothing. And I'm thinking, when does he sleep? When does he sleep? You know, because after that, then there's a morning walk, and then there's a class, and then we're out doing more programs, then there's a program in the evening, you know, and we're all eating, you know, big feasts, and Prabhupada's eating like anything. But when does he sleep? And he's getting a massage, and he's talking to hundreds of thousands of people. And then he's attending to all the devotees. You know, then he's letting me walk, you know, side by side with him. When does he sleep? Where's all this energy? Then he's hopping on a plane, flying around the world. Right now, you know, if I get on a plane and fly to Denver and come back, I got to rest for like a whole day. And Robert, he was getting off the plane. As soon as he got off the plane, it was like a magnificent beam of, you know, unlimited energy coming towards us, which was more than all the hundreds of devotees it was bringing in. So that's the idea that actually Krishna, because it is amazing, because Krishna is in the heart. And Krishna actually, is the driver of the chariot. But when we're thinking we're the driver of the chariot, then it's a very, very, it's a hard road to travel. But when we let Krishna drive the chariot, like he did at Kurukshetra, when we let Krishna drive the chariot, then the road is very, very smooth, and Krishna creates all these opportunities and situations and occasions that the passenger, it appears like they don't have anything much to do. So that's the liberation. At least. So while we're in the body, we have to live in the body. But the liberation also means that we're not controlled by the body. So that's what the term also Goswami means. Goswami. The one who has control of the senses. Goswami. Controller of the body. And the original Adi Goswami is Govinda, Lord Krishna. Should we read a couple more verses or should we stop?
Yeah, unless you have any questions.
Any questions?
I have one more thing on this idea of liberation and the sense of freedom. Before I became a devotee, when I would do yoga, it would always give me this, kind of bring me into a bigger space or a sense of freedom for my body. And when I began chanting, I also felt that experience. One could imagine people who, go out in nature sometimes will give you that sense of space. So, that's one type of liberation, as opposed to the liberation that seems to me the higher type of liberation that's connected to relationship, right? Or connected to that loving relationship with Krishna. Or is that a similar feeling that we would be feeling? Freedom or peace, or like you were saying, that devotee running that he feels.
In some sense, yes, I would agree in some sense. But in another sense, I would also, at least, that's sort of like, washing the car. Cleaning the car, tuning it up. But the real freedom is the actual driving the car and having the car go wherever it needs to go. That's the real, and even beyond that is the smart car. Where the car, you just get in and say, 15th Street, and it knows where to go. So that's the real freedom, is the smart car. Suryasana and Padmasana and things like that, and feminism and human rights and anti-racism, these things are like, they're like washing the car. They're like cleaning the car, tuning the car up, taking out the trash. So it gives us a sense of connection with the car. But the actual movement of the car, that's the smart car. That's this inside this internal mechanism. That is Govinda, the driver of the chariot. So that's the real freedom, having that connection that, yes, Krishna, you're going to take this and move this. So that real freedom. See, because we may do all of these ideas that, social movements and political movements and physical movements and everything, these things are being done by us. Right? If I do Shirsasana, I'm doing the headstand. If I go out and march for green or pink movements, I'm doing that. But in the liberated platform, Krishna is doing everything. So So Krishna was moving Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, remember when he first came, he said, I don't know why you brought me here. He didn't say, I came here because, you know, I wanted to come. He said, I don't know why you brought me here. But now that I'm here, if you want me to dance, then make me dance. So that was the freedom. Now another kind of freedom was, you know, could be I'm going to go to America and open up a McDonald's, get a loan, and, you know, have a Dunkin' Donut franchise. You're free to do that. Right? So many brothers come from India and they do that, right? Brothers and sisters. Right? Am I right? Yeah, they do that. So that is one kind of freedom. But that freedom is still, you know, you're dependent on the government, the country, the situation. Whereas Prabhupada's freedom, he was not. He was totally independent. So, you know, he was completely free. So that's a different kind of liberation. So we do, you know, get a sense of inner peace, inner comfort from our particular endeavors that try to bring us in harmony with the universe, you know, physical health and social support, human support, human rights, animal rights. All those things are human, valuable, and wonderful human values. So they do bring us a sort of like a reflection, idea of what freedom, you know, will ultimately be like. But on the practical level, we can see that we should not think that at this particular moment in history, this is the only time that good men and women have thought it's noble to not do bad things. There's always good men and women that will always think, you know, it's just like I was reading on the internet something about there was a group in Rajasthan like maybe a couple of hundred years ago who had a movement to save the trees. So they, you know, used to hug trees. So there may be somebody who's like, you know, from California that had a vision and, you know, like last year think, well, I'm going to hug a tree now and this is something new and I'll start a... But any noble person, always registers with the goodness of life and makes some endeavor to propagate that goodness. So saving the whales, you know, working for human rights is always part of the noble features of humanity. But the ultimate freedom is to let God now take over this machine. That brings the true freedom. Does that add a little bit?
Yeah, thank you.
Would you like to say, add to the discussion?
No, there are questions yet.
Okay.
I do have a related question for one.
Yes, sir.
Based on what you said about being a Goswami?
Being a Goswami, yes.
So, that all related with the senses, how can you control the senses?
Mm-hmm.
Now, senses are driven by the three modes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Bhagavad Gita, that says that everybody is under control of these three senses, three modes. So how do you make sense out of it? I know there have been devotees in the parampara who have become Goswami. But for devotees like us, neophyte, how do we compare these?
Yeah, well, that's the work that's there. And also we have to be very careful that we don't, because this verse is very, very telling here in this purport, that we don't want to confuse the Goswamis with the title Goswami too as well. The original, you know, Goswami, the idea is that to control. And that's back to this theme of today of that serving Krishna and working for the Lord. As we serve and work for the Lord, the Lord actually takes control of this chariot. And the Lord starts to direct the chariot as Paramatma, super soul inside. So that is the first our first point of
step-by-step
process is getting in contact with the Lord in the heart. The Lord that's in our heart. And then the Lord in the heart will eventually lead us to Govinda. But it's not something we can do artificially by doing pranayama, yogasana, offering charity, making big yogya. You know, we can only Govinda can do that. And as Govinda takes over, then we become Goswami. That makes sense.
Okay. Beautiful.
Stephanie, thank you very much. So we left at 1:180.
You'll come again next Saturday? Beautiful Kirtaneers to come some morning in the week.